love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What, Drew?
What, Adam?
Never stop helping. That's all. Ian Somerhalder's here tonight, along with Maggie Grace. They are the brother and sister team on Lost, one of my favorite new shows. I think one of everyone's favorite new shows. I don't know why it's more watchable for me than all the other hour-long dramas, the CSIs and things like that. I don't know if it's the action. I don't know if it's
the
location.
And the cast.
Yeah, it is definitely a good-looking cast. When I told the guys over at Kimmel tonight that I was going over there to see the brother and sister team, they all said that Maggie was the hottest chick on the island.
So there.
Yeah.
They're not stupid.
No, they're not.
And that's why the brothers pissed all the time.
Always. Yeah. Yeah, I like, I mean, all the women on the island are great looking. The pregnant one is hot, too, but I feel sort of bad. I feel dirty, you know? Now it's all shot in Hawaii, right?
All of it, yeah.
Where are all these beautiful places that you never get to go to or see? You know
Kauai?
What I mean?
Is
that Kauai?
Kauai is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oahu. Is that Oahu?
It is.
And where you guys, they put... How far...
Oh, you mean the show.
So get in your mic a little bit there, Maggie. Just lean it. You can move it toward you. There you go.
There you go.
You,
Wow.
You guys shoot... The scene, the whole... Where's the beach camp? What island
is
it?
It's on the North Shore of Oahu.
That's North Shore. And you guys are staying at a hotel down the road?
No, we all live there now.
Oh, everyone just has a condo.
We've been shooting almost a year now.
Yeah, everyone... We're all buying houses out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh.
It's a good life.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because
we have no idea how we got there.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, if you think about all the places, I mean, you know, most sitcoms are filmed in like Beirut
or
these days,
Vancouver at best.
Oh yeah,
well,
yeah.
We thank our lucky stars every day. Yeah. We could have been shooting in Barstow for the last year.
Oh, yeah, could have been.
Which there's nothing wrong with Barstow, by the way.
No,
we love Barstow.
Beautiful.
But we also really love Oahu.
Yeah. So everyone's going to buy a house there, and everyone's been there for about a year?
Well, off and on since March.
We started shooting in March, but we all kind of moved back there in July. Which, by the way, you know, Hawaii in the summer, as we all have lived in L.A. for a long time, you know, the summers can be really hot.
Yeah.
But that beach stuff, on the North Shore, no wind, beautiful waves, but no wind, 95 degrees. It's a tropical island.
Really?
Sometimes almost 100 degrees.
Hawaii always
black
has a breeze.
Prada.
Wait till the surf gets going on the North Shore,
No, it's
Shore
now.
Too.
It's
going.
Yeah.
We had the biggest waves that that they've had in Hawaii for, I think, 8 years.
A 40-foot rogue wave hit our set about 3 weeks ago, and it went 210 feet inland.
No. Really?
And it was strange because it kind of coincided with a storyline about the waves.
Or a storyline that I heard.
Yeah.
In Indonesia.
A big storyline.
We shot that wave before the tragedy.
I know. I think everyone really, truly understands how that feels, and we should all be helping those people over there.
Well,
we are.
I gave $3,000. I don't know what Drew gave, but I gave $3,000. But somebody has donated $15,000 to come in on this show.
Oh, good for them.
And sit in and hang in with us, and that money's going to the fund. You guys are going to want several hundred dollars by the time we get to the 11 o'clock hour, so it's going to be bizarre to you to think
somebody
dropped.
But you took the money and ran, didn't you?
I said to Drew, and I got to be honest, I'm going to be upfront.
Here we go.
I said to Drew,
you need to bring this up.
We're $15,000, all right? Here's all I'm saying. I don't want 10. I want 5. I just want to wet my beak. I just want a taste. And I'm saying if we had the former host of the show, we'd probably be up $2,000. Man, let's call it $2,500.
You just want to be compensated for the...
I come in here, I bust my hump.
Yeah.
Every goddamn night, I bust my hump.
The rich
I carry
price
the show
you pulled
on my
in,
back.
You want a piece of that.
Well, here's basically what I'm saying. If you had another host, it'd be $2,500. He wouldn't get a cut, but that would be it.
Right. Nor would the station get their 7 or 8,000 that they're going to get, or 10,000.
Right. Now, I'm taking the 5, that still leaves 10.
Yes, I know. I see.
Which is still 7,500 more than you would have had with me. Do you
like
know
I
what
said,
I'm
I believe Diana Ross uses that kind of math when she does a security event.
Well, it's
I
like,
believe that's how it works.
No, it's like your agent works. You know what I mean? He gets you an extra 100 grand on that Sanka commercial, Drew, and then happily you give him his 10%.
I understand
you would
your
never
logic.
Never seen that money.
Understood.
Okay. All right. Why do I got to play the heavy? I do have some bad news. Remember I said if we got to 15... I was going to bump it up to 7 grand.
Yes.
We did kind of get to 15, and I'm sorry.
You did say
it's
that.
It's still $7,500 going to those Sumatrans. That's my point.
Here we go.
We're raising money. How many episodes did you shoot, and then you got picked up, and how many more do you have to do, and all that stuff? Like, what's the schedule like? You guys are obviously here now.
No, we just got lucky. We had the Globes last night, and it's Jorge Garcia's episode this week, the big guy, big
mm-hmm.
funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Maggie and I get about a week or so off, which doesn't really happen
on
television. But we're on 116 now.
Blessings of ensemble drama.
Exactly. We shoot 23 episodes a season, so...
You know what's amazing, too? There's you know, 20 people on the beach, but they all seem to have a significant role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sort of like some championship football team where you know everybody and everyone has their role players. But there's not one necessary. I mean, there are a couple of stars. Obviously, Evangeline Lilly.
Hey.
And Matthew Fox. Yeah, they're the lead guys. But everyone else gets a fair amount of camera time. And by the time you get to them, you'd been missing them a little bit. And you guys, I love the fact that you guys hate each other most of the time.
It's life imitating art perfectly, and art imitating life.
Yeah, but in real life, you guys are the best of friends, right? Yeah.
Yes. They never speak. How do you know?
Yeah. Really?
Oh, no.
Shut up, Drew. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Maria?
Hi, how are you?
You're 17?
Yep.
What's happening?
Well, I never thought I'd ask this question, but I was with my boyfriend the other night, and he wasn't in me, but he came between my thighs.
Yeah,
near you.
Yeah, near me.
Mm-hmm.
And my period was just ending, like, that morning. I thought it was over, but then later that day, I began bleeding again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like 90% sure or 99% sure I couldn't be pregnant, but I feel like I once heard Dr. Drew saying that it can travel up, and if you get pregnant, you might start bleeding right away.
Well, you put together some interesting facts.
Yeah.
Sort of,
and not up your thigh.
Not up your thigh, no. It's not going to, nor off the ground and travel.
Well, no,
jump
was,
off
yeah,
the furniture.
Yeah, these aren't carpenter ants.
No.
You understand?
No. No. Yeah,
it would be great if they were.
Thighs,
you've seen the sperm carrying the leaves across the canopy of the rainforest. Be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maria.
Yeah.
We don't want you to have kids for a good long time.
Take it easy. Maybe you should.
And no homeschooling when you do.
Are you a virgin?
Yes, I am. And I really want to stay that way.
Good. Let's stay that way. And virgin, you're having difficulty sort of defining what that means. And I think
it's coming too technical. I have to slow down.
Yeah, that's
all right. Good, Maria.
All right, but who's your boyfriend?
A boy. He's a really wonderful person. He'll slow down if I ask.
He sounds like a delight, but
boyfriend,
Sir Walter Raleigh.
How dare you?
Yes, I missed the comforter, my lady. Here's a wetness.
Why did you laugh when he said your boyfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. I mean, I don't care if you make fun of him. You don't know
but
him.
But we were the one that laughed when we said
oh,
boyfriend.
Oh, I know him. Believe you me, I know.
I've
been
know
doing this job for 10 years. I know this guy.
I know.
All right, listen, Maria. You have to. You should use some birth control if you think you're going to cross the line.
No.
Okay.
Don't cross the line.
Back it down a little bit.
You're fine.
All right.
All right.
Yep. Like,
right,
can I be pregnant though?
Well, if semen does not get into you, no, you're not.
Was
pregnant.
The ceiling fan on?
no, there was none.
No, okay, ceiling fan.
Okay.
All right. You know, the thing about ceiling fans, I was just thinking about, there's a fine line between them not making any noise and them making too much noise. You don't want them completely silent.
Why not?
Because a little hum will put you to sleep.
That's you with that weird brain you've got. You need that hum. Not me.
That weird brain's got us up to 15 grand.
I know.
Bro.
I understand.
Out of 7,500.
Maybe I shouldn't use the word weird. A special brain.
Gross. 15 grand. Net, you know, 75. But here's the point. A little hum is nice, right?
Yeah, it's a
during the summer
sound
and your feet are hanging over and all that kind of stuff. Right, but sometimes you get that rattle and then you're completely thrown off your game.
It's not really a rattle. It's a...
Yeah. 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 Drew, no?
Silent.
You want nothing?
Nothing.
It's almost, it's weird.
I want the air moving. I want the air moving.
Yeah, but air moving minus sound is sort of, it's
called wind.
It's eerie. No, it's like, would be like flying in a prop plane and not hearing the engine. It's unnerving.
Whatever.
Do you find it unnerving to be alone in your own company with nothing else making noise?
I like something. I will often just go, just so I can hear something.
Be honest. What happens if you're sitting by yourself with no distractions?
I have to masturbate.
Right. There we go.
No, I'm saying it. I'm making the announcement now.
Yeah, right now. Okay.
Yes.
That's
fine. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm kind of seeing this guy a little bit. We're not really dating, but he has a gigantic dick. And
whoa. Where did she say she went to fishing school? Where?
I think it would be Zurich.
Zurich is Vermont. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Can I say that on the radio?
Well,
I guess. I don't know. We'll go with yes. So okay. He's giant.
I have a really
huge.
Big dick.
Well, yes. I guess we can say.
That's
Blink-182,
yeah.
All right. And, yeah.
My
and
question
you.
Is, what yeah. is this doing to me downstairs? You know,
nothing.
Is this expanding?
Oh, it's like a wrecking ball hitting an old apartment building.
I'm the big boy.
Probably nothing. Are you having pain or problems?
No, just like the term loose, you know?
No, Jenny, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, okay. She thinks she's being
you're
like,
stretched
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it,
yeah. Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing.
See, Adam hates your boyfriend.
It's fine as long as you go bigger for the next guy, but you have to keep going bigger, like the
graduated cylinders.
Yeah, I was thinking of those old Russian wooden
question.
Dolls.
Right.
That's
the opposite,
question.
Though.
Does it do anything, or does it always stay the same size down there?
Jenny, that area of your body is designed to handle a child's head.
Oh. Well, I have two. So,
you have two kids.
Yeah, they did a little more down there than your boyfriend.
I pray they did.
And did you have a cesarean section?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a C-section?
No,
okay, so you had vaginal delivery. And you understand what went through the canal there was bigger than what your boyfriend's offering.
Yeah, but...
And things went back basically to normal, right?
Yeah, I've heard that they go back to how you were before you lost your virginity, you know? Does it ever change down there?
Well, yeah, the babies will change it a bit, but that's about it. And it changes a little bit after you lose your virginity, but that's about
wait,
it.
Wait a minute.
There's all kinds of little changes
as
you age.
It goes back to how it...
No, don't even go there.
To before? And by the way, before you lost your virginity, you could have been 3 years old.
Right.
I mean, there's no age.
I know. So don't...
All right, Jenny. Jenny, are you going to a junior college right now?
No, I don't go to college. I work in a factory.
Yeah. See?
But
he's one of your people.
I see it as sort of a heart, sort of real hot, like flash dance sort of situation where you do like welding, but you're hot and you dance.
Actually, I'm a press operator.
But you're hot, right?
Oh, I'm definitely hot.
Yeah.
Especially
so
after two babies.
If the kid, if the kid didn't stretch you out, then how's your new boyfriend?
What do you mean?
If this is the point. If the child didn't cause any stretching or change down there,
that rips and tears and then you heal afterwards.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
But the point is that's
all right.
So the term loose.
All right, listen.
No, forget it, Jay. No such thing. Forget it. Yes, a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh.
something 14-year-old boys talk about. Okay?
Well, stop talking to people you work with. That's number one. Number two, you don't have a saltwater taffy down there. It doesn't get yoked out and never go back. Please, hey Jenny.
Okay. Yes.
Where is the father of or the fathers of the two children?
Actually, it's one father for the both of them.
Wow, refreshing.
A husband?
Old-fashioned.
No, married? We were going to get married, but...
Going to get married. That was a commitment, though.
Right.
Kids
are
one thing, but marriage, that's a commitment.
Where's he now?
He actually is in jail currently.
Okay. Oh, well, now we're back.
All right.
Now
all
we're
right.
back. Comes
all
into
right.
focus. We're in Loveline again.
Yeah, so what's he doing? Why is he in jail?
He had a couple DUIs,
hit
and runs.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
he moves in pairs.
Jenny, I'm looking at my crystal ball. Your dad was an alcoholic.
Oh, big one.
Yeah, how did I know that magically?
All right.
Yeah.
But, Jenny, by the way, do you have to crank out two kids at 21 with this kind of chaos in your life?
Actually, I was on birth control for the first one, and I was using condoms with the first one, and then birth control with the second.
Yeesh.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to God for a second. What goes on here that we half the women we talk to are dutifully taking their birth control, and somehow God overrides that because they think a 17-year-old former victim of sexual abuse needs to crank out another kid so she can F them up and we can take care of them.
Here's what that is. That person is not the most diligent person at keeping the schedule with the pills.
Yeah, they're
not. They may think they are. They may be close, but they're not.
But then what about the loving couple where the woman's the orthodontist and the guy plays the cello with the Philharmonic who've been trying their brains out for 8 years to have a kid, and they have to go to like Vietnam to get some kid who's missing a middle finger. What is that? They can't have a kid.
The Asian kids need somebody to take care of them.
Guys, the people who drive Range Rovers with airbags on the airbags, and they can't have it. But the one with the trailer with the duct tape holding the door closed,
they have
seven kids.
Yeah.
They can't stop having kids.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Why is that? What's the plan?
How dare you question God's plan? How dare you?
You're right. He's a genius. All right.
Ian Somerhalder.
Yo,
hey guys.
Yes,
come on, reset here.
That's right. Let's reset. All right. Let's break it down now. Lost.
Everybody hand in. Here we go. There we go.
Wednesday nights, ABC. Best new show on television. Now, on ABC especially, Desperate Housewives gets a fair amount of ink.
But Lost, it's better. In the same breath, yeah.
Just better. People at work talking about it, wanting to know what's going on, what could it be, what's happening next. It's really exciting. Rochelle?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Rochelle?
Hello?
What's happening? You're 29.
Holy crap, I can't believe this is awesome. Hi, guys. My husband and I are having a lot of challenges having sex.
Mm-hmm. And keep going. What's the problem?
Well, for a long time, I wanted a lot of violent sex. Like, that's what I asked him to try. He wasn't really into it, but finally we kind of did a lot of that. And it just kind of scared me. I thought it would turn, I thought I'd like it, but it...
How do you get him going if he doesn't want to do it? How do you inspire him?
Well... He didn't mind, the holding down and tying up and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think secretly a lot of guys could get into it. Drew, if we ever unleash you, it'd just be, we get a call from the cops. Where's Drew? Oof. You open a can you should have never opened.
God forbid.
Passionate man. Ian, a little rough trade's all right, right? I mean,
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not that into it.
Not your thing.
But here's the sort of
Maggie.
It's not genuine.
Maggie's giving me a knowing nudge.
You made an awful lot of fun of me that day. I had to be strapped to that tree.
Ooh.
She was strapped to a tree in the jungle once.
Yeah.
And I had to go and cut her, and it was
difficult. The ropes.
You made a lot of sexual jokes, right?
I think women
will admit to a little tug on the hair, a little tap on the ass. Yes, Maggie.
Hello?
Yeah.
Women in general?
Women in general. Not you. Not you personally. I think you do speak for all women. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I've always thought so.
Yeah.
Isn't it something with sensorially the pain of somehow reverses the
sensor? Well, there's some
heightening
arousal. But the reality is
check here.
Somebody like Rochelle, though, was beaten or abused physically, and that makes that attractive for her. The sources of trauma in childhood become attractions in adulthood. And as soon as they reenact, and they compulsively reenact those things that were so traumatizing, and when they do, they get re-traumatized and they shut down, and that's what Rochelle did.
Is it like an attempt to solve?
That's the theory.
Recreating the scenario.
Well, that's what people, when they try to understand these things, will say. Well, it's trying to regain mastery over things that were just so powerless and helpless. But the reality is, I think it just sets a wiring in the brain that just compulses us.
Just conditions.
So it just sets it up.
Twisted regression therapy.
This is why people get in bad relationships over and over again. It's all the things that makes people nutty in relationships. A lot of it harkens back to early childhood trauma.
Rochelle. Did you have some abuse in your past?
And I was raped when I was four several times.
Ew. So there you go.
Who did that?
A neighbor. He was actually a boy. He was only 12, so...
Did you report him?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Good. And how was your dad? Was he around?
Oh, yeah. My dad's... Well, actually, they got divorced when he was six, and I would, be with him during the summer and with my mom during the year.
So you need some treatment, Rochelle. You need to deal with this.
Well, was your dad a good guy?
He's awesome. My mom has some problems. She's a little off, I think.
Alcoholic.
Mm. Yeah.
The thing is, I tried very hard to decide that I didn't want to, like, have violent sex. I wanted, like, the, you know, the
soft. Rochelle, it's exactly what humans do. They are attracted to that. In fact, they sometimes can only experience themselves sexually in those highly arousing situations. But when you recreate them, they re-traumatize, and then you go and shut down.
Right.
You need to
get a little therapy.
You need to reintegrate. It's really what therapy would be about putting all the pieces of that.
Here's the thing. So I finally just, like, stopped being interested in that. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I stopped being interested in that, but now I have no interest in sex whatsoever.
Right.
Listen,
Rochelle.
Do you have kids?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Therapy.
You gotta get some therapy.
Therapy is who's used to dealing with trauma survivors.
Yeah, you're abused. I mean, you're raped when you're 4.
And this is highly treatable, by the way. Highly treatable. Okay.
Highly treatable?
Yes, what you've got is treatable, but it's not like we can talk you out of it or teach you out of it. You have to have an experiential process in therapy and go take care of it.
Let me say this. It's Martin Luther King Day. He had a dream. I have a dream, too. This country would get a little therapy. That 30-year-old people wouldn't be like cavemen.
Yeah, robots.
In terms of their mentality.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Huh? I mean, we're getting pretty sophisticated with lots of things. We understand how things work. Why are we not moving in this department? Why will we not understand or accept that these things that happened in the past affect us as adults in very predictable ways?
Because it's not talked about.
It isn't. And why is it stigmatized? Why couldn't a president see a therapist? Why do they have to pretend they're religious and see their effing clergy all the time? Bill Clinton.
There's no difference. You know, there's no separation between church and state. It's not taught. It's not
implemented. I think that as far as the society goes, as far as the government goes, it's not looked at. It's not discussed. I think it's considered a weakness if a leader says, I'm going to get a little counseling. I think it's a sort of a cop-out or a weakness.
You know what it is? I just think about this. That religion has been so much the fabric around which society has been built that we're still living under that rubric. It's devolving.
Yeah.
But the people that lead a society still need to hearken back on that very, very ancient glue.
Yeah.
It's always been there, and they're fearful of doing otherwise.
Yeah, and I think they're sort of freaked out about what they might find
in
therapy.
The other thing is we don't have a new myth to replace the old one.
Right, and it's going to take a while for that to sort of take shape.
Yeah, I just, it seems like society is, you know, by definition, just made up of human beings who basically respond the same way to the same stimuli. Mm-hmm. We could correct many of the things we're trying to avoid. I mean,
yeah, but based on what? Faith, based on a sort of one stream of consciousness that...
No, but the point is, just like if we were a group of polar bears...
We would figure out what makes this group of 100 polar bears react in certain ways, and then we would fix it.
And what makes them healthier, and give them the stimuli and the lifestyle that makes them healthier.
It's pretty straightforward that, you know, someone like Rochelle got abused as a 4-year-old and needs a certain amount of help in a certain department.
And by the way, not some sort of...
It's not voodoo.
It's just simple spending time with another person.
Very straightforward.
Let me ask you a question, Doctor. Do you have one author or a series of books, maybe, that you can have these people read?
No. That's actually a problem, because the stuff gets pretty technical when you start reading about how this stuff is managed by the brain and on psychological terms.
Well, give some.
But it doesn't really matter. That's the point, because there's nothing you can read about this or learn about it that will change it.
Well, when you're in the situation, it's so hard to self-diagnose and apply.
But now that
you're
reading. Even if you could, you can't. The only thing that helps it is an interpersonal experience, an emotional experience, not an intellectual experience, an interpersonal experience where you change in relation to another person. You're literally using another person's central nervous system to re-regulate your own. Reading about it does nothing except convince you that you need to get treatment.
Yeah, well, it couldn't hurt to read about it, but you end up just sort of intellectualizing
right.
And you say, well, I'm doing all I can by reading when you really need to get in and start working
on it. It's like the alcoholic. Well, I really understand my disease now.
Right.
Yeah, here we go. I don't need to go 12 steps anymore because I understand I'm an alcoholic and I understand how that works.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You making fun of me, Drew?
Yeah, you.
How dare you?
How dare
you show me up in front of the big
Have I ever called your medicine alcohol in public before?
I call it my medicine. Mm-hmm. A little red wine before I go to bed. You know, helps take the edge off. I come in here, I walk out of here, I'm carrying the burden of everybody who calls this show. I remember every listener, every caller, every question, and I internalize all these.
You remembered me when I walked in.
Ian. What was the last call?
I called Imbrada or something. What? The last call?
Yeah.
Who? The chick, her areolas were too wide.
There you go.
I'm listening. How dare you try to show me up? All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Ian Somerhalder's here tonight. Also, Maggie Grace, both from Lost, Wednesday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Lily attracted to gay guys and transsexuals. That's good times. All that after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. Well, that would be Dr. Drew, but he's helping out a listener. Ian Somerhalder here tonight, Maggie Grace, both from Lost, Wednesday nights, ABC, 8 p.m. Best new show on television. And no signs of slowing down. I don't know how far in advance you guys know. I know you couldn't talk about it if you did know, but how much do they tell you about plot and...
Not so much.
That sort of thing.
We have enough to go on, but not so much that would overburden our performances in any way.
Do you or have some local ply you with booze and have you spill it all over the place? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you knew, talk, right?
Yeah, they know that we're actors, and by virtue of that, we would
be
compelled to tell.
Well, they tell me
like
things,
you.
Just not Ian.
Right, that's what I feel.
They're smart guys.
No, you know what's really kind of interesting? I remember on the pilot, and they do this sometimes as well. If Maggie needed to know, say, A and B, but I didn't, but I needed to know K and F, they would tell us this, these two separate things.
Really?
I knew things about his character that he didn't know.
Right, and I know things about her that she still doesn't know.
Interesting.
But I actually figured them all out on my own.
But I'm
pretty sure of it.
Do you think they know? How far in advance do you think the writer producers know?
When they wrote the pilot, they had it brainstormed through, I think, season 6.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Obviously just broad kind of story arcs.
Kind of broad strokes. I think all the little details sort of fall into place.
Right, yeah. Obviously, they don't know every nuance, every twist, every turn, but in terms of the broad strokes and the big picture, they know. Sometimes I wonder, with a lot of shows, if they don't know what... Like, everyone's sitting around going, I wonder what's on the island, I wonder what it is, I wonder what's going on, and I sometimes think, well, maybe they don't know yet.
Well, you know, we definitely don't know that much.
Yeah.
And we're only about 4 episodes ahead of what's airing, which is, I guess, a significant amount, but you want more. For every resolve, there are 5 more questions, and that sort of makes
you
crazy.
So how many more do you have to do before... Are you still in season 1? Because I'm getting the seasons broken up now.
We shoot through April.
Beginning of April.
Oh, really? And how many episodes will that be in total?
23.
Wow, that is a lot.
Big 2-hour finale.
She okay, Drew?
Drew's back.
Dr. Drew.
Everything cool, buddy?
Everything's cool.
Take care of business? Let me smell your finger. That's disgusting, girl. I can't believe you'd hold it out to me. Come on, let's try to help the kids. Lily?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes. What's
up?
I have to say, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, I love you guys. You guys are like superheroes.
Thank you.
Aww.
Thank you. You know, we raised $7,500 for the Sumatra relief stuff.
But now the superhero and the salvage diving, I keep going back to the Soviet sub cartoon.
Oh, yeah. I haven't figured any of this stuff out yet. Drew, don't confuse everyone. Okay. Lily?
Yeah?
Sorry. Thanks for the compliment. Now go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm 17. I'm not a lesbian or anything, but for some reason, I'm, like, attracted to gay guys and, like, cross-dressers. Because I live out in the Bay Area, and there's, like, tons of them, right?
You're a lesbian.
True,
I'm just, like, for some reason, like, their personalities, everything about them, like, I'm attracted to them. I don't know. For some reason, I'm attracted to them, and it's really confusing.
Gay males.
Yeah.
Gay males is a superior version of the male, would you say, generally?
Yeah. The only part they're missing is the part where they're attracted to your genitalia.
Right.
They vomit if they see you naked. But other than that, it's great. Good listeners into what you're into. Lots of recycling. Those people recycle, you know? What a utopia we would be living in if everyone was gay. No street crime, nothing but recycling, manicured lawns. You ever see that gay... You see that the stretch of Boys Town on Santa Monica Boulevard there?
Oh,
it's so nice.
It's beautiful.
They're close to carpeting the place. There's nothing... I swear to God, you throw a piece of gum on the ground, you're tackled by the gay patrol. Drew, you ever been tackled by the gay patrol?
No, it's not good.
Not
pretty, parking tickets.
Yeah, here's what basically happened is Santa Monica runs from, like, East L.A. to the ocean, essentially. And there's one nice strip of it, and that's the gay part. There's three blocks of just pristine. I mean, the thing looks like some sort of five-star resort. Mm-hmm. They're going to open, a driving range and a golf course.
What's so excruciating painful is that all the guys are as beautiful as the landscape. They're all beautiful.
All they do is exfoliate. That's all they do. Gay guys shine. They shine. They loofah. They scrub themselves down to the bone.
I think Grace can relate to Lily's question a little bit, though, here.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, must be frustrating.
I do live in Los Angeles, and yes, I mean, it's a lot tough.
You live
very
in Hawaii.
Attractive.
Sorry, correction.
Yeah, well, now you're in Hawaii. But when you are back home in Los Angeles, you see that beautiful man, shaved, tanned, six-pack abs.
The grooming is stunning. And also, you know, you might find they're sometimes more sensitive to
well-read.
Your needs, very well-read.
Well-read, great
but
sense of humor.
Occasionally, you run into a guy you may think has every appearance of being gay and isn't, in fact, straight. So,
really?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
It can happen, so maybe you'll meet one of those.
Yeah, but then he turns out to be gay, and then it gets weird because he had sex with him. And it's like, oh, my God. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
You're freaking Maggie out now.
All right, maybe this is happening.
But
this is an interesting point, which is, as guys, we like lesbians, lipstick lesbians, but they don't really exist, just in porn, where they get two straight chicks, get them high, and tell them to go at each other for $500. They're not truly lesbians. The true lesbians, they're the chicks who work at the feed store, they work at the kennel, they work around animals.
And they don't give you the time of day.
Yeah. They're angry. They don't like you, but they're butch and they're stocky and they got that, you know, buzz cut and they're into like a black powder rifles and stuff like that. And you got nothing you don't need them. And so it's not torture because you go, well, look at the hefty chick in the dungarees wearing the burlap shirt with the butch cut and no makeup. I don't need any of that. That's not a waste. But you women, you see the guy who's 6'2", looking like Lucky Vanos, scrubbed, winking. Winking with his cheeks are winking at you, and he's recycling with his shirt off, and you're like,
"No turn, oh, like recycling."
Oh my God, this guy's how? Ooh, he's got a puppy. Look at the puppy. This guy's. They do. You know what they do? They're effing with women. Think about a guy. Here's all I do. All I do is sit-ups and walk a puppy down a pristine street. That's it, with my shirt off and exfoliate, and I like read Oscar Wilde. I want nothing to do with you, honey. Think about it. It's like you're effing with women. Like,
yeah,
you're
tantalizing them.
You're screwing with them, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. And you got time, and you're crying, and you want a little two-seater and a smart cocktail. You announce you're taking a me day every couple of days, just going to the beach and reading some more. Right?
And there's that forbidden fruit appeal.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just can't have it.
If you could just turn him out. Just turn him around.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Women do love to change men. There's a big challenge.
And then here's the real tantalizing part. You're super hot. There's all these slobs that are going after you all the time. And this guy wants nothing to do with you. It's like he finds you grotesque. Yeah.
Just uninteresting.
Not interesting.
He'll
vomit if you touch him.
Grotesque.
Touch him. He'll vomit.
My gay male friends are very physically
They don't say anything, but if you ever touched them in a sexual way, they would just projectile vomit.
She's trying to change.
I don't know anybody. Not attracted to Maggie.
The gay guys. Yeah, it's not their
the
cup
gay
of
guys.
Tea. Nah, they're
look
nice.
Funny.
Yeah, they're like, all right, maybe.
They appreciate, but not attracted.
Yeah,
they're good at kind of taking care of me and going shopping. It's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, man, just talk about the project that would be, the ultimate
project. Well, let's
finish
with Lily.
Isn't there someone on the phone that...
Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Lily?
So, Lily, here's the only thing I've noticed,
Lily.
Aside from what we've been discussing, which is that gay men can be just very...
My mom has the same problem. Like, she.
All right, hold on. Ooh. Listen, Lily. Aside from the fact that gay men are just appealing in many, many ways, the one thing that I have noticed, the only pattern I have seen with women that hang around with people that are transsexual or gay, and this may or may not be you, it's not been a strong pattern I've seen, but occasionally they are raised with the idea that they should have been the other sex. The dad's always going, I wish you'd been a little boy. I wish you'd been a little boy.
Interesting.
Did you get anything like that when you were growing up?
No, my mom was always happy I was a girl.
Where's your dad?
My dad was in Mexico. I never knew him.
Mm-hmm. But and mom, you say you're a second generation fag hag?
No, it's just my mom's attracted to like gay people too, and like transgender and stuff. It's
all right,
it's
all
weird.
Right.
And like,
God knows, maybe grandma was too. Way back in the day.
But okay. it's just weird because I am too, and it's like.
All right. Well, you know what this means.
What happened to your dad, by the way? What happened to your dad?
My dad, he left when, my mom left him when I was a baby.
Why?
I guess because my mom was my dad was abusive towards my mom.
Anything that ends up in Mexico is, it's always bad. Canada's a push. South of France means he started his own successful winery or something. That's all right. But if it ends in Mexico, that's a bad sign. Don't delve, Drew.
Got it.
Sad. Lily?
Yeah?
Here's what it means to me. It means you can't handle intimacy because any guy you're interested in doesn't really have the mathematical chance of being interested in you that
way.
It's a way of saving yourself.
Yeah.
Your dad left. Your dad broke your heart. Your dad was a horrible guy. You're scared to get close and intimate with a guy. So you just go after guys that are either gay or they're other. You know, you're the close cousin of the one who goes after guys that are in prison.
Right.
You That's can't right. handle an intimate relationship.
Right. It makes sure that you're not going to be involved with these guys.
Yeah. And they're guys who just date strippers. It's sort of the same thing. Yeah. Although, their logic I understand. Lily?
Yeah.
So you gotta look into this.
So don't
just make the announcement, I like gays.
No, and by the way, you may look into it. She may be just one relationship away from this going away.
Yeah, maybe.
She's 17.
You need the right guy.
So, like, how would I go about looking for the right guy? Like,
just being open to the possibility of a relationship. That's all you got to be.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to be close to somebody.
Yeah.
Who's not unable to be close to you.
Yeah. And don't stand around with your arms folded. It means you're not available.
In gay bars.
Yeah. Don't do that. Just go places where there's straight guys who like you and, try not to be angry.
Okay.
Are you gothy? Do you dress in black?
No, I'm not a goth. I dress weird, but kind
yeah.
of normal.
Well, don't dress weird. You're freaking everyone out.
Oh, weird can be good.
Yeah.
She sounds
good
cool.
on you. It's not good on Lily. Lily, get some regular nail polish. You wearing black stuff, or is there like a...
Green.
Unicorns painted on there, or anything ridiculous?
I don't know. I just like the regular girls out in the Bay Area.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Now, hang out with some regular guys, and you'll be fine.
Okay. You guys are my hero, and you guys rock, and I love you guys to death.
Thanks, Lily.
Bye, Lily.
Call us back when you get that new boyfriend.
Okay. Oh, Adam Carolla, are you single?
No.
No? Will you
No. Didn't you? You had that list for 18-year-olds. She's coming up on 18.
I did say that I would, and I agreed. My wife agreed with this, that if you were a virgin until you're 18, I could, turn you out. Are you a virgin, Lily?
Yeah.
All right. When's your 18th birthday?
November 15th.
You have a date open then?
I'll put you on the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be on the list?
Yeah, I'll put you on the list. I can't guarantee I can get you on your birthday.
Okay, then everything's cool. I love you. You guys rock.
Okay, I'll see you probably the 19th or 20th.
Oh, then it's a date.
All right. Make sure your mom's out of the house and chill some champagne.
All right.
Hey, she's 18 at 21.
Oh, but no,
that's
me.
For you. Oh, yeah. You're Madison again.
Well, I like to take the edge off. So, obviously, I've been traveling. I just
teaching
went online
about safe
a little.
Sex and how to drink responsibly all in one
That's right.
swoop.
That's right.
Admirable pursuit.
Thank you.
I love, but you remind me of something.
Maggie, when's your birthday, by the way?
September 21st.
Okay. Get you that I can make, actually, same day. Yes, Drew?
And how parents always talk, it just reminded me how they talk about, we can teach our kids how to drink responsibly. And I think like... is there any of your legal acts you want to teach your kids how to do responsibly?
They got it.
It's illegal. Wherever they do it, it's illegal. Some other illegal acts we'd like to give them some responsible illegal measures. Speeding, pot, anything else?
Yeah, they're cooking up H. You don't want to get air in the syringe or anything. Call an embolism, right?
Yeah, you got to teach it responsibly.
Yeah, hit it with the cause. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Drew, don't freak your kids out, by the way. You're going to give them an eating disorder. You know what I mean?
That's what?
The booze and the studying and everything. So let them be kids. You know what I mean? They're gonna have like a Mickey's Big Mouth at the park.
Here's
when
the
15
reality.
Or 16. Come on, let them be kids.
I'm so intense already. They pick up on that. I'm busy telling them to calm down.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're gonna freak on them if you. What if you find a roach? What if you find a joint roach in one of the knapsacks at 15, 16.
Show them how to inhale responsibly?
Right, of course, yes.
What do you do with that?
Here's the thing. I immediately would get help.
You would get help?
Immediately.
You would get help.
I'd get assistance. But then I thought to myself, huh, I wonder if that's the right thing to do, or just, you know, start setting limits and boundaries everywhere, but, and help.
Do you think it would freak them out if you got help? And why don't you help them? That's what you do.
Because I'm the dad.
Oh, it's way too close to the situation.
Too close?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll help
them. Yeah. Can you imagine if your dad was a therapist?
Yeah, my dad's a therapist, actually.
Well, look what's going to happen. Look, say no more. Say no more.
Well, case, wouldn't you resent him for encroaching upon...
We don't talk. No, it would be weird. It's weird. I agree. But on the other hand, it's weird having some fat, bald guy come in with a ponytail and start talking big calves and sandals, start talking about sobriety.
I won't hire that guy.
Don't hire that blowhard, sober guy. December 26, 1971. Took my first sip of single malt scotch. I didn't care what it took at that point. Beautiful family, loving kids. I give it all away. It all went up my nose. There's nothing more important to me than the drug. April 15th, 1984. That's when the house caught on fire. Fell asleep with a Tipperella.
Mm-hmm. Been coming to meetings for 20 years. Been sober for 2 hours.
2 hours. But you know what? Tomorrow, tonight, later on tonight, I could go off at any time. I like that one. Like, I've been sober for 126 years, but tomorrow, no guarantees. Well, I got a pretty good feeling. You can't lift your arm anymore. I don't think you're going to be drinking.
On the other hand, I've seen some.
Really? What is it about sober guys that turns them into blowhards?
Those usually aren't very sober guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The
blowhard
guys?
Narcissist convincing everyone of their sobriety, not usually that sober.
Where's my bourbon?
That massaging their sobriety may help keep them sober, but that's not true sobriety.
I like when they do this one. It'd be easy for me to come up here and lie to you. But I'm not going to do it. Really? Could you please lie or just leave? Or how about you lie and leave? Leave and lie. All the way out to the parking lot, just telling fables. Please, go. You know the guy I was thinking about today? The blowhard traffic school instructor. Mm. When you get in a car accident, there's two collisions. First one is car with the other car. The second collision, it's your head hitting the steering. Yeah, right, two collisions. Got it. You know the person that said the same goddamn story a million times? You just want to stop them in the middle and just... You want to hit them with a dart dipped in curare in their neck and just follow. Yeah, Drew, you do that. People, you could drive without seat belts and you might make it to the store tomorrow, but I promise you that... fall over. Ian Somerhalder is here tonight along with Maggie Grace from Lost, 8 p.m. ABC, Wednesday nights. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Ready? Ready?
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. That's his favorite song.
Yeah, it is. How'd you know?
Well, he insisted on putting that in the opener, remember? We wanted to play some, wait a minute, this is Drew, so come on, Drew. Come on, you bust a groove or a move or whatever you do. Come on, you ready, Drew? Drew does know the words of this one.
See if I can remember.
No, you got them. Don't think. Let yourself go, brother.
Use a cues, I sues on views, I cues on views on Cusack. My sues, my kizzer.
Yeah.
My kizzer, I z.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kizzer. It's always like my kizzer. It's always like my zoom, my z, my zoom, zoom, z.
You see?
There you go.
Doctor says I don't have
the izzy.
And by the way, it's Martin Luther King Day, and, you know, a lot of guys just remain silent, but not Drew.
No, I busted out.
Drew steps up.
But why don't you get no play, player?
Drew, please, let's keep going. Ian Somerhalder's here tonight. Maggie Grace here tonight
you
from Lost.
You got to get out there and get your bitch drunk.
Little something from a little Crank Yankers episode Drew and I did a couple of years back. Wednesday nights, Lost. Yeah.
Crank Yankers?
Oh, yeah. That was,
you haven't seen it?
Not seen the Crank Yankers. Oh, it's puppets making prank phone calls. Yeah, you would enjoy it.
Nice.
Actual prank phone calls. When is the new episodes? Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. You watch Lost first, and then you watch my...
No, then you got to go to Alias. You have to TiVo Crank Yankers.
No, you TiVo Alias, and you watch because you get the twin TiVo, and you watch the Crank Yankers on Comedy Central.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right, we ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah.
What's up?
The past month or so, I've been having this, it's like a sharp pain in the base of my penis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have sex with him, I mean, with her.
With him?
That's all right.
Well, her. I should say her.
Yeah.
He gets to be I was the dude. Told, 'cause I have a problem. I kind of feel insecure about the size that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was told by a friend to wear one of those, what are they, those penis, what are they, penis rings?
Mm-hmm.
That by wearing that at the base of my penis for an extended period of time will help increase size.
Right.
So I've been wearing it for the past month, like all the time. And
oh, really?
Since I started wearing it, I've been having sex. And right towards the end of sex and after sex, I get this sharp pain in the base of my penis.
Wait, hold on a second. I know C-rings.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather was a pioneer.
Okay.
And after World War II, C-ring. He was smuggled out of Germany to work on C-rings.
Yeah, I've heard of the Corolla C-ring.
Yeah. And it's called the Philadelphia Project. And the point is the C-ring snaps on after you get erect, but right. then when you become flaccid, it should just fall off you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We got to go back and save after
you
the break.
You can't wear that.
There's either something bogus about this call, but why would somebody wonder what the problem is if they're wearing something restrictive?
Dave, please tell us this is bogus.
No, because I was told to wear that because it would help increase size, because I was told that it would capture...
Now he's convinced me it's not bogus. Well,
I am so sorry that I thought for a heartbeat this was a bogus call. I didn't know one of your retard buddies from junior college told you where the C-rings it would capture your asses. Yeah, this is bogus, Dave.
I don't mean capture it, but I'm saying when you get an erection, it entraps, like it holds more blood in.
Yeah, we understand the philosophy, yes. We understand the basic.
I didn't know.
Hold on.
All right. Hold on, Dave. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ian Somerhalder's here tonight. Maggie Grace here tonight. They are the brother and sister from Lost, 8 o'clock, ABC, Wednesday night. Drew?
I'm just sorry the listeners couldn't hear that rich enthusiasm that is pouring through the microphone from Anderson.
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I played that song and Brian is off to my right singing and dancing to it, and it's very difficult to
that's weird.
It's hard.
Yeah, weird.
It's hard.
Yeah.
All right.
We feel your pain.
What does this do?
Yeah. Please kickstart us, though, Anderson. Come on. I don't even get... The only reason I got into radio so I get that pointy finger through the glass, gone.
And sometimes I get pumped up and I'll give it to you, and you're like, could you please keep it down?
So no. No, that's because when you pot yourself up and you're high and you start yelling into the mic,
well, there is
blow
no
my eardrums out.
Still give you the finger, man.
Yeah. Do you do the
just
point?
Just now you gave one?
I just did it.
He's
yeah.
been
really?
Doing it every time.
Yeah. All right.
Really?
All right.
I point
okay.
to the empty studio.
All right. April?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm...
Hold on a second. She was pregnant. She was abused. We're
talking
too many.
You
want to
talk about
tonight.
A wax?
Yes, I want to talk about a Brazilian wax. This is not a carnauba wax or paste wax. We're not talking about waxing a minivan. We're talking about Brazilian wax. Brazil, where they invented wax.
Waxes.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
All right, Beth, what's
up?
It
can really help people.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey there.
What's happening?
Well, first I have to say I really, really miss you guys. It's been almost a week. I'm from Maryland, and no more HFS, no more Loveline.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, they went to, pinata
ranchero music.
Spanish.
Ranchero
music. Yeah, Latin music.
That's awesome. All right, I'm moving to Canada. I don't know about you guys.
So no more Adam and Drew for me. So
there, we may turn up on another station there. So
well, you can find us online somewhere, right?
Yeah, there's a stream somewhere. I just don't know where.
Yeah, I think 91X. Did
91X.
Someone say that?
Yes.
All right, 91X, our affiliate out of ironically out of San Diego, which is right next to Mexico, streams us on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Beth.
Okay, so I got a Brazilian. And I'm really pleased with the results, but I'm not breaking out or anything like I thought I would, but the skin on the surface is really sensitive.
What's involved with the Brazilian wax?
Well, it's similar to a gynecological exam almost. They
really? What was the nationality of the woman that did you? Something other than white, right?
She was Russian, yeah.
Russian.
Yeah, thick accent?
Yes, very thick.
You turn over now. Spread cheek. It's good.
Exactly.
Use popsicle stick. Rub on goose. There'd be smoking. Call me when dry. Bite wooden spoon. I yuck. I pull now. Don't cry like girl. Is that basically what it was?
You're enjoying the scenario entirely too much.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Stuff newspaper in there so none gets inside. I know how it works. Yeah, here's the thing. Maybe she's calling from Maryland. Maybe they have Russian women. Here we have Asian women. But you can't have just like one of your mom's friends. Like, you have to have a crazy accent. Otherwise, it's too
weird.
Intrusive.
It's
like
weird.
Someone is spreading your ass cheeks and dumping candle wax in it. You can't just have, you know, some chick named Cheryl from Wisconsin. There you go. Spread the cheeks. Hi, sweetie. How you doing? Oh, you're from Lost. I love that show. Could you? I got a 12-year-old son.
Cindy.
Say, Geraldine, come in here. This is the sis. Not the. No, that's. No, not the convict. Over. For the love of Pete. Just. Sweetie, I'm sorry. Could
you have a
sign?
Boyfriend?
Sweetie, you have a boy. I have a nephew. He has a thyroid problem. He's being medicated. Please, the wait is coming up. Would you please leave? You're making things worse. Sweetie, he's a virgin. He's clean. He's pure as the driven snow. He's great. He's just out from Wisconsin. He's getting some extra work. It'd be fantastic if I could hook you two up. No, you can't have that. When someone's between your legs, you have to have the crazy Asian nationality, and beyond.
By the way,
Japanese or Chinese, a crazy deep. Johnny
the real comedy is that's the conversation they're having. It's just it's in Cambodian.
It's in Cambodian.
Same conversation,
right? Or the thick Middle Eastern, Eastern Bloc, you know, Iron Curtain thing. Whatever it is, they can't register as a full human being to you. Otherwise, it's way too intrusive. I figured all this out, Drew. I know how it works.
I know you are. Yeah, when you get your waxes, I understand.
Yeah,
you just insist on
it. I get a wax. Takes 6 weeks. Bad
team of Russian women.
How many Russian women does it take?
The Russian circus comes in and
All right, so, Beth, what's the question?
So, well, my question is for Drew, that is there any, like, certain kind of lotion or medicated lotion I could put on my skin since it's a sensitive area? It's the surface. It's not, like, down where all the, you know, girl piece stuff is. It's just
the girl
piece. Yeah.
Girl piece. What do they let you wear, by the way? I want to know what you wear.
Hang on, Beth. I would just use some, like, 1% hydrocortisone cream, Cordaid, something like that, over the counter.
Okay,
that's all.
Do you wear your bikini?
They give you, like, a paper thing with...
Newspaper, like you said.
They pull it to the side, to either side, and just go for it. So.
Wow. I mean, you're really up in there.
Yeah.
And it's a decent, well, if you're a lesbian, it's a great, it's like ice cream taster or something. I mean, think about it, because who gets bikini waxes? You know, your fat menopausal women or, you know what I mean? Like hot, young bikini chicks. Oh.
Yeah. There's not a 19-year-old male doing that job anywhere in the world.
I just thought of a great scam. We do it sort of like, okay, they do these movies, like when they did White Chicks.
Tootsie.
Or Tootsie.
This is the new Tootsie.
I pass myself off as Helga, heavy set Russian woman. I get the padding, the prosthetics.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
By the way, guys, we're going to read about this in Newsweek next month. I'm telling you.
Someone's going to take
perfect.
This idea and run.
This is happening.
And I just show up. So bad. And I got the whole prosthetics. Yes, the old Mrs. Doubtfire thing, but I play the Eastern Bloc woman. And I fall in love with a young bikini model.
But it's got to be antics ensue of all the crazy.
Maybe Maggie could play her in the movie.
Maggie, you could play the young bikini model I fall in love with as Helga. And you're strangely attracted to me for no good reason.
And it's unsettling to you. It's very bizarre.
Yeah,
like, talk to your friends about it.
You find yourself saying, yeah, and you're dating
feel
some...
Feel sexually confused.
You can't figure out the hairy hands.
You're dating some hot shot, hunky Hollywood type. Oh, yeah.
Ian.
It's like Ian over here. But it's like he's always looking in the mirror. You're always looking in the mirror. And you find yourself
Ian?
Saying...
Really?
Yeah. You find yourself saying things like, Helga says, and your friend's like, who is this Helga? Can you stop talking about Helga? And for some reason, you have some sort of genetic problem where your pubic hair grows at an amazing rate.
And
where
so,
you have to go
so,
back twice
wow,
a week.
That's
twice
really
a week, back to seeing Helga. Let's how would that interaction go, Helga?
Oh, you're back. This is so good. You're so beautiful. Put the plastic panties on. Oh, wait a minute. I've turned Middle Eastern.
Indeterminate. It's Anku chicken.
Accent.
You're right. I have to get more more Eastern Bloc.
Yeah.
More. You're put. No. Is that right?
Yeah.
You put the plastic panties on. Okay. Yeah, but see, that sounds like a guy.
Maggie does.
I gotta go down.
A very good Eastern European accent.
Do you, Maggie?
Indeterminate Eastern European.
Maybe you Teach could him. Play her, and I'll play the hot bikini.
Wait, no. I play the man posing as a Russian woman. I don't know.
This is Oscar material.
She's talented.
You play a man posing as a woman who's actually a woman in real life as an actress. I play, and this is where I get my Golden Globe, I play the hot, young, blonde bikini model.
I would love to see that.
That would be awesome.
It's just the kind of multi-layered role I was looking for.
Your role doesn't change, neither does your motivation, by the way. I'm just saying, you have to go to somebody. I imagine, I don't want to put you on the spot, Meg, but I imagine, you know, if you're doing a beach show, you got to get one of these things, right?
One would imagine.
And I would also imagine that the person had an accent, yes?
Yeah.
Hawaiian accent, probably.
Oh, really? 600-pound woman calling you Howley. Awesome.
Well, if you want the details, you just watch the Sex and the City episode about it, and you'll get way too much information.
Yeah, I tell you, I would love to get this gig. Even just working the desk would be good. Beth?
Yeah?
All right, so they gave you bikini wax, and you can rub the hydrocortisone on there now, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll try.
You'll recover, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going back in for another one. It's very cute.
All right, how much does it cost?
About $60, and you got to tip them really good, too. So.
Really? You know, they just...
Yeah.
Otherwise, they might leave the spot.
You really would probably want to tip well.
Drew, how does the...
I thought you decided tipping had to do with food.
How does... What's that?
You decided the tipping has to do with things you eat.
Well, it has to do with...
Bikini wax.
It has... What? Yeah,
safety.
I would eat that wax if it came off the right girl.
Mm. Okay. There you go.
Drew. Big air ball. Drew, what do they do with that stuff, by the way? It's like, it's kind of medical waste, you know? It almost should
it's
be incinerated.
Like the soap from Fight Club.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any regulation on that. They might.
Mm. Yeah, if you're a weird dude, you'd hang out by the dumpster.
Mm. Really?
No, I said...
Don't be giving people ideas.
This is
weird.
Another episode.
I said weird dude.
Yeah.
I said weird dude.
You're going to have a sudden influx of what do you call it? Part spaz, all loser.
Hanging
out behind
the sploozer.
Yes, hang out by the dumpsters, and they're going to trace it back to you.
Yeah. Got part of Pam Anderson's patch here.
Sell
it out. You'd end up on eBay.
Oh.
In a heartbeat.
No.
The bidding
cancel.
Bidding through the roof. Jen?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hi. I was calling because I've heard you guys. I'm a stripper. I live in Huntington Beach. And I was curious to know. I hear you guys talking about strippers and that. I wanted to know your guys' stance on that. And considering my age, I hear you guys talking about, you know, like you were comparing earlier tonight about how straight girls that like gay guys are compared to guys who date strippers. And
no.
I don't know what
no,
you
mean. No. Yeah.
No, there's something, but it's unavailable, essentially.
Right.
But here's the thing, Jen. First off, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, there's shades of gray.
In the stripping area.
In the sexuality area. I mean, you got your bikini models, right? That's fine. Then you go topless. All right, you got some problems. Now you're totally nude. That's the situation. Then you're doing bachelor parties. Now you got someone abused. And then you got porn. And then there's all variations of that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you get the publicist. That means you're the worst, or the worst society has to offer.
What I was asking was, I wanted to see, like, how you feel about guys dating strippers. Like, if you think strippers can actually have, like, a real relationship.
I lived with a stripper for, like, a year.
How was
that?
It was good. It's great. Awesome. Fantastic.
Fun times. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she was a delight. She was from England, though, so she was, you know.
So she smacked you in the face.
She punched me because I got drunk after a softball game that got canceled. That's all. I was glad. I was loaded. I was in my cleats. Went to bed in my uniform. It's awesome. Soccer.
I know
right
a lot
of face.
Guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys will have given me hard times in the past for my job and won't consider dating me because of my job.
Well, here's the other thing is once the guys that are okay with it, once they become your boyfriend, will suddenly want you to stop doing this.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Well, I've had a serious boyfriend that has been able to accept it, and everyone says, "Well, he wants your money, you know." Or
yeah, he is suspect. We immediately don't trust that guy.
Most guys who are sincere about a woman do not want to see her go off to work every night
no
and take
way.
Her clothes off. It's a turn on for the first, 8 to 14 years, but eventually it's tiring. No, it's a turn on for a little while, but then they got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's conflict because you're bringing home $300 cash every night, and he gets you a gig working as a receptionist at a dentist's office where you're making $9 an hour and they're taking taxes out, and now you're pissed at him because you don't have any money.
Well,
it's been a
little
cathartic there, by the way.
I noticed that.
I want the guys to understand that, like, it's something that I have to do right now. It's not something I choose to do. It's what I have to
you're
do
forced
for right now for cash.
By the government to strip. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the guys you see cleaning up on the side of the freeway.
They're forced
they're not there because they hate garbage. There's community service to do. You have to get in 2,500 hours of taking your clothes off, and then you're square. It's either that or you got to wear that that home arrest bracelet around
boot.
Your boob.
Uh-huh.
That's a boob one they use. Yeah, and you have to stay in the apartment
it's
all day.
The boot.
Yeah, I know. It's like me with killing hookers. I don't want to.
You just have to. You're
I
blind
have to.
To.
Yeah, I need to be stopped before I kill again.
So, Jim, what's the point here?
What's that?
What's the point? What are you getting at?
I want to know what my point is.
Well, I was curious to know your stance. So obviously,
why do you have to strip?
Well, I got kicked out of my house when I was 18, and I was pretty much living in my car. And then my car got totaled, and after a while, I was overstaying my welcome at friends' houses, and I need to get out on my own. And that was the only thing that I could think of that would make money that fast, where I could get an apartment and a car within a month.
How much money do you make on a good night?
On a good night, $2,000. Sometimes now it's starting to
Maggie's
boost
pissed,
up.
By the way.
I usually make $500 to $1,000 a night, and I work 3 days a week.
And in cash, and you get to leave when you want, right?
No, actually, my club's really strict. They keep you there, and you have to pay a fine to leave. Like it's like $100 on the weekends and $50 on the weekdays.
Wow,
$200 on holidays.
This is one of the issues in getting stuck into this lifestyle is that it becomes addictive and alluring from the money too. It's hard to break out
you
of it.
You get docked if you leave early.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So she really likes you if she leaves with you early, Adam.
See, wow. See, yeah, I have this theory I'll share with Ian, which is you always know when strippers like you because you go, what time do you get off of work? And they go, I can leave whenever I want. That means they're in you. See,
if they're paying a fine.
That
now
just means
I,
they
now
can
I know this.
Yeah, yeah, you probably did know that. But if they say I can leave whenever, that means they're ready to go. If they do, they go like, well, my boyfriend gives... one honk off. He has a lift kit on his F-250 anyway. Gives one honk on the Uncle Henry Huga horn about 4 in the morning, and I come running out. He's got a Rottweiler and he's with throat in the back. It's a super cab. That means you're not getting late. But if they do that, well, whatever. I can do whatever I want. The next one is we got a party. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 I'm just telling
That's
you.
It's a very Vegas-y thing.
It's a Vegas-y thing.
It's a Vegas-y thing.
Yeah.
Vegas-y. Just coin that word?
Yeah. Vegas-esque.
So.
That's where Adam learned this technique.
Learned this technique in Vegas, yeah.
You learn a lot in Vegas.
You really do. Mm-hmm. It's not all just in those books that tell you how to play 21. You got to hit the streets, learn nice. On your own. Yes, sir?
Here we go.
Where are we talking
Break
to?
It down.
Jen? I'm not done with Jen.
I know you're not.
Jen, $2,000 a night?
On some nights, yeah. That's
on a good night.
On good nights, yeah.
Yeah, and what is it on Creepy Arab Night, by the way? It's $2,000. Let's face it.
Oh,
I know what you guys are thinking.
We get a lot of those.
I know what you're thinking.
You're in Garden Grove. Where's your club?
No. It's in Santa Ana. I live in Huntington.
Oh, uh-huh. Does it have a ridiculous, novelty, insulting name like Bob's Classy Lady or Thirsties or something?
It's a drug, actually. It's ecstasy.
Oh, ecstasy. And so it's just topless?
No, it's fully nude.
Fully nude?
Yeah.
You didn't establish that.
You didn't. Oh, I thought she sort of
18,
said she
18 and over is fully nude because they don't serve alcohol, and 21 and over is topless because they.
Uh-huh. So no booze. How much is a lap dance?
$50 for one song.
What?
Yep.
What am I? One of the Rockefellers?
Because they're fully nude dances.
How about you put that napkin that the Vietnamese chick gives you at pinky cheeks, and it's back down to 20. How about
you
that?
You have had them done.
Pinky Cheeks. That's the name of the
you
film.
You do get them.
That's the movie.
Pinky Cheeks. I'm Pinky Cheeks.
Oh, you guys better
Pinky
write
cheeks.
A treatment
oh,
right
oh,
away.
Immediately.
Get
immediately.
Your name.
Someone's going to steal this. Pinky Cheeks. Oh,
you heard
God.
It here first, folks.
Oh, Pinky Cheeks.
Oh,
that's my name.
That's a film I have to see.
Who's number one?
Oh, yeah. So, Jen, you're totally nude. It's $50 a lap dance.
We'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah. How many lap dances do you average on an evening?
Averaging about like 10 to 20 on a normal night, 20 to 30 on a good night.
Good night. and creepy Arab guy night, 30 to 40.
I said, yeah, it's still not $2,000.
A lot of the guys, sometimes they come in there and they'll just hand you money and they won't even dance with you. They'll say, hey, here's $500, you're beautiful, and they'll walk out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Start partying with those guys.
It's
not
a classy club, so.
$500, I want anal. That's my policy, Drew. I know. I'm sorry. You've always said that.
I mean, you're an old-fashioned guy.
That's my thing. 500. Yeah, should have asked for 450. Would have been cool. Just a handshake. As soon as it gets past.
Wait, 50 a song. It's not even a full song, though. It's like 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, and by the way, who are they kidding over there? That they'll take like Inagata DeVita and get it down to minute 29. they really will. Like, they cut those songs. I'm going to look into that. I'm going to do some. I'm going to get my investigative team over there and look into that.
Yeah, they probably edit them.
Hey, everybody. I'm a fanny pack, and I have a ponytail. I'm morbidly overweight.
Jen, what's your name at the club?
Crystal, coming to the stage. Guys, quit your credit, drop your linens, girl. Becky, stage five. I like they do a little air traffic, too. They're moving around. Businessman's lunch. Creepy Arab guy night, Monday night. Open buffet. Jen, what is your stripper name?
Tess.
That's the other thing. When the stripper gives you her real name.
That's huge.
Here's what scoring is with the stripper. When you get the real name and I get to leave whenever. You get the real name and I get to leave one whenever. Pow.
Is it polite to ask for
kiss
the real name?
Kiss on the lips as well.
Do you ask for the real name?
No. Well, you could. I think you could.
There's that break in the Geneva Convention.
How good are you feeling? You know what I mean?
But I mean, if they give you a name because you asked, is that the same as if it's offered?
I don't know. Spontaneously? Jen, what's your policy on the real name?
I don't normally tell guys my real name just because of the whole creepy stalker factor.
Right. But what if a guy came in like Drew? Glasses all fogged up.
Probably not. No offense.
Medically induced boner. Yeah. Drew, you're an older man.
I'm a rapist.
Drew, please, let her finish.
I've danced for 80, 90-year-old men who look like they're going to die below me, and they start pinching my cheeks, telling me how darn cute I am.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I've danced with them all from freshly.
Doesn't that, Jen, doesn't that distort and affect your feeling about men?
No.
Yes, very, very much so. I've looked at guys completely different from working in my
You love them even more now, right?
No.
Shocking.
What then starts to happen is you start feeling resentful towards men and hating them for participating in this whole thing and getting kind of grossed out by them.
And I understand. I understand how why guys would go. I mean, it's just for fun. But, I mean, when guys get really serious into it, it's a little creepy.
All right. I don't want to cross the line here. But I think I did with the anal comment, so I'm cool.
Not at all.
The line's a little behind.
It's a little south of where I am right now.
Where are you going now?
I was surprised to hear that a fair amount of guys had an orgasm during a lap dance.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've never been able to pull this off.
Very common. So is that weird?
Very common. Yes. What percentage, by the way? And don't tell me 50%.
Oh, my God. You would be surprised. There's actually guys who wear condoms under their pants so that they don't burst all over their pants.
Shrewd.
How do you know that?
That's why, because we look at the trash cans when they come out. You'll find condoms.
This is way too much information.
No, it is not. Drew, how dare you run from the truth? You're a physician. You're supposed to seek the truth. So you think it's half
you
the guys?
You can't handle the truth.
You think it's half the guys?
Is that common?
Yeah,
does that happen in every strip?
Very much so. I've had guys who say they're going to dance with me all night, and then I get them back there for one dance. I don't even do anything, like touching, whatever. I don't ever do anything like that. But just like rubbing, you know, like
pow.
rubbing the leg.
I heard this. I was shocked.
Well, that's touching.
Dismayed.
What do you mean? You're touching them.
Well,
then.
They're rubbing. Yeah. They're,
well, they're rubbing themselves?
No, she's having contact on their genitalia.
Mm.
Yeah. That's enough for a passionate man like Drew. I like the preloaded condom.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And how do you keep it on? I mean, you get it on when you're flaccid and then, you know, you got to use like a popsicle stick to shove yourself into this condom. How does that work? And then you just have a piece of elastic with a couple of alligator clips on it. You wrap it around and snap it onto the end. Jeez. Like, what?
You've given this a lot of thought.
I really have.
You do it, don't you?
I have a garter. I'm wearing one now. Oh! I got to change it. We got to go to break, Drew. I got to change. I got to talk to you in the bathroom pronto. Pronto. You understand?
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Bring the wet naps. Ian and Maggie both here
let's
tonight.
Go to Pinky Cheeks on the way.
Let's go to Pinky Cheeks from Lost. All right. I wasn't done with Jen. It's shocking
you go back
how many
to
guys.
She said more than half.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm like disgusted by those guys, but I'm sort of jealous.
Envious and disgusted.
Well, because let me just say this. First off, a guy who can go in there and have an orgasm can have a couple of lap dances, and then it's like, this is gross. Oh, God, I got to go home. What am I thinking? Never again. Never again. Never again. A guy who never has an orgasm.
Can't get to that point. The disgusting point.
It's infinite, right? It's like, as long as there's an ATM in there and the drinks are flowing, it's never going to end, right?
I guess you're right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Back with Loveline. Maggie Grace here tonight. Ian Somerhalder here tonight as well from Lost. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, ABC. Yes, Drew.
ABC, yes, Adam.
Yes.
Good. Should we talk to Jen again a little more, or are you done with her?
Nah, I think I'm done.
Jen, change your name at the club. You're going to have like 5,000 men there tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you got to change your stripper name.
No, seriously, Jen.
Very large syndicated show. It's security questionable.
All right, are you working tonight, Jen?
No.
Okay.
Once you're working
next. All right, but good times.
Have a nice night.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, too. How do you get... Now, these people, they're 19. They got a semester of junior college under their belt. They're making $1,000 a night cash. They work three nights a week. How are you supposed to convince them to take some $10 an hour gig?
And plus the allure of the arousal and the reenactment, all the stuff we talked about earlier. They're attracted to that stuff.
Right.
It's very difficult to get them out of that.
Yeah.
So usually they have to hit bottom like an alcoholic. These things have to start happening.
Yeah.
Bad things.
Yeah. Drew and I having a spirited debate over a nice whiz session in the bathroom about how a guy gets a condom on when he's flaccid. Drew had a very interesting hypothesis. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Chubbing up and then putting the thing on in the bathroom?
It must be that.
Yeah?
Otherwise, you can't get it on.
You can't get it on, can you?
No.
No?
No?
But they can stay on after it goes down. They can kind of stay in there.
But like taking a piece of yarn and try to thread it through a needle, like, it's just not going to work.
From like a foot away.
A foot away?
Yeah.
Well, for me, about not quite a
half an inch. Yeah.
Thanks for the foot, though, buddy. Appreciate that. Foot away.
Well, I wasn't thinking about you.
Oh, okay. All right. Drew, passionate man. People don't realize that Drew is a very passionate man. Maggie, are you picking up on Drew's passion?
I think that that monotone's a little cover
for the passion,
the surging fire underneath. Yes.
Yes. There's this smoldering volcano of passion ready to erupt.
Unfortunately, Maggie's sarcasm wasn't a cover for anything.
It generally is not.
Steven?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I just like to say that you're a genius, and I want to know, how do I get into the radio business? Obviously, you know something about that.
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, I got into the radio business through a very unconventional manner.
I think a lot of people do with radio.
Most people do. I was, Jimmy Kimmel was doing the morning show, and I was working as a boxing trainer, and I trained him to box for some morning event, and we made friends, and he got me on the radio. God bless him. And I now repay him by going to his house every Sunday, watching football, drinking
his
beer, and eating his food. Because that's the kind of guy I am. I give back. And you should intern. You should go to whatever the local radio station is and just go there, start driving the van, start interning.
All we have here in Tucson is Ranchero music.
No, that's not true.
No.
Yeah,
no.
But here's the deal. Tucson, unfortunately, is too big a market for you. You got to go to some little tiny market somewhere.
Really?
Find your way on to
I started in Los Angeles.
I know, so did I.
Big time.
But this was in the days when you could do that. You can't do that anymore.
No, true. So I'm told. True. Believe they were listening to an old Zenith when you were on the air. You started like AM.
I started in LA, though.
This is the voice,
voice of America.
Yes, to all the ships at sea. Yeah, brought to you by Chesterfield for the cool, smooth smoke. Chesterfield.
Was your and job Ovaltine. To like make the sound effects in the background?
Yeah, he would shake the sheet metal for the thunder. A horrible storm roared outside, and he would Yeah, no, Drew, this is not the Dumont Network.
No, I understand. But Stephen, everyone I see that gets on radio now does it for free for a while in some tiny little market, usually in a late night slot. They figure out some kind of show,
yeah.
and they develop an audience and a program, and they throw the tapes
but
around, and they move to larger markets.
You don't have to figure out a kind of show. Just get in at the radio station.
But eventually, you get on the air somewhere. It's not going to be in Tucson. It's actually too big a market.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tucson.
Unless you can do a radio, unless you do a college radio station.
All right. How big, what market, what number market do you think Tucson is? You have no idea.
I don't know, but I'm sure it's...
Top 20? Top 30.
Top 30, probably.
Well, here's the crazy thing. The markets go to like 500
yeah.
or more.
Mm.
Like, it's not, you know, you think top 50 or something like that. Oh, boy, we're huge in 178. Yeah. Right?
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Chris, get on the computer. Find out what Tucson is, which market. All right, buddy? And this time tomorrow, we're going to need an answer. You understand? Okay. Chris, not fast. The computer's fast, not Chris. Leslie?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
I'm calling you guys. Actually, I listen to you guys in San Francisco, but I'm in Arizona now.
Great.
I'm happy to call you guys, but as far as it goes, I'm calling you guys regarding Viagra and what is the age that you need to start using it, because my boyfriend, he's like 29, and
it's not working.
Like every time we have any kind of thing going on.
Why does he do that?
He uses it or he loses it?
He uses it every time
every
they
time.
Have sex.
Every
Why?
Time.
Does he need to?
I didn't ask him that, but it seems like, yeah, I guess so. Because it seems like every time we're in any kind of romantic something, he's popping a pill.
You're fat.
Mm,
and I
true,
finally
please.
Figured out what it was. Just recently,
Maggie, you would take that as a slap in the face, right? Guy needed to pop a Viagra before, you know. The
I can't
dance.
Compare you guys' last conversation, but yeah. Kinda.
You're insulted. He's a 30-year-old man.
California to Arizona, and I've only been here for 3 months now, and I kind of learned that just recently.
Well, here's the question. I know you sort of answered no, but was he having any difficulty in the erection department, which is right next to Sporting Goods, by the way?
Not okay. that I knew of, but Those we've only lived together. We've been dating for about a year. We've only lived together for 3 months.
All right, so you don't know if he was using this recreationally before this or
before,
something?
Actually, yeah.
All right, Leslie, it is meant to be used exclusively for people that have medical indications, medical reasons for erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Whether it's side effect from medication.
That's how all drugs start, and then they find the good time people.
So we don't know the long-term effects of people, young people without any medical problems using it over a long period of time. We have no idea.
In Drew, sir, I disagree with Drew about almost everything except for his passion.
Mm.
But
as far as being 29,
quiet down. I was about to say something important.
You forgot though.
No, just not really that important. No, Drew says there are no free lunches in medicine.
In nature,
meaning,
yeah.
In nature, if you want a boner and you can pop a pill and get a boner, that's fine for a while.
There'll be a price.
But eventually,
there'll be a price.
You got to pay the fiddler a little bit, and that's basically how it is with almost everything.
When it comes to human physiology, that's generally the case. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Isn't it? I don't want to get too cosmic on everyone, but it's that way with almost everything. It's like you could buy a new car and you could drive it as long as you wanted and you could neglect it and you could never do anything, but eventually falls apart. You should have stopped and changed the oil and had it serviced. It's a pain in the ass. No one wants to do it. It's not glamorous. But ultimately, you can abuse things for a while. Your body's like that new car. Mm-hmm. You can kick the crap out of
especially
it
when
from
you're
sort
younger.
Of 0 to 40, but eventually the wheels start coming off the wagon. So you taking Viagra every time you get it on could have long-term consequences.
But I have a question for her, though, about what goes on with the sex. Does he feel like he has to go on for a long time?
Actually, I'm quite surprised as far as no. I don't want to say that, but no, not really.
So he's quick, and even with the Viagra?
I mean, you know, yeah.
Hey, this guy sounds like a keeper.
Is he doing drugs?
I'm not sure.
Well, it sounds like a drug addict thing.
Hey, Leslie, what's wrong with you that you moved from beautiful San Francisco to crappy Arizona to be with the Viagra King?
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
I am
right
the
now.
King.
I'm going, oh, my God, what am I doing with this guy? But, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, is your self-esteem? What's wrong with your... listen, you could hear me stop talking when I'm talking, which is almost all the time. I agree. Did she do it again?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to give you two choices or C. A... You got a big ass. B, your dad was bad to you. Or C, all of the above.
None of the above.
None of the above.
None of the above.
You love your dad. He was good to you and made you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I'm actually best friends with my dad. I talked to him tonight.
All right. And
when you were growing up, it was that way.
Yeah, it was good.
All right.
All right. In your ass, if I gave you a 5-gallon bucket and you sat in it, would you get stuck? That's how I test all my ladies. Sit in the bucket. Now you can't come in the house. Then.
I'm wearing thick underpants. Sorry, sweetie. Rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
All right. No, okay. I don't like this guy then.
What is she saying? I can't
hear
her.
She talks only when I talk.
I know.
Now, you know what she's like? Oh, hold on a second.
Buddy.
She's like one of those.
What are they? Every there.
I don't even know what I'm saying. She's talking so much. She's like one of those things you get on a late night TV that like dances when you talk. I don't know. It's like some kind of fake plant or something. Right. It moves when you run in a room.
Right.
So, well, you shut up, it stops. All right, let's see. Oh, she must be driving this guy insane.
Yeah. Leslie.
Damn.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Why would you have to use this at 29 years old?
I don't know. No good reason, unless there's a serious medical problem or he's doing drugs.
We're going to find out what size Tucson is.
Tucson is 62.
62. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, not too big a market. Uh-oh, Anderson has it at 73.
Whatever. Still Hold too on. Big for the last guy we talked
True.
To.
True. Who are we going Chris. With, Anderson or Chris?
Well, I got it over here. You can see it.
Okay.
Who are we going with? Chris.
We'll go
in the room with us.
All right, we'll go Chris. Sorry, Anderson. But anyway, it's not that big a market. They can go down and intern at the radio station. Leslie.
What?
Okay. Move back to San Francisco. I don't like this guy.
Thank you, really.
There you go.
What? This is going to be difficult, but what does he do for a living?
He's medical management.
Medical management.
What does that mean?
He's in medical management. He's what a buyer, seller for medical supplies.
Like okay. Viagra?
I don't know. They're what not kinds of prescription. They're not in his name. There's so nothing in his name. There's
he's no selling medical supplies, right? Bottle. Leslie? Leslie?
What?
He's selling medical supplies. Is that correct?
Yes.
What kind of medical supplies?
All kinds of them.
What kinds?
He does all.
Hold on. She must be either a fine artist or a poet because she paints such a vivid picture using words.
Cicero. Rhetorician.
Oh, my goodness. I just close my eyes and I'm transported to a different place, a different time, hey, a different world. Unicorns, babbling brooks. Rainbows and a Pegasus. It's crazy what she weaves. It's like a Jethro Tull song. Incredible
poet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is he? He's medical salesman.
What kind of medical
salesman?
What kind of medical supplies?
Medical salesman. Sell supplies.
What kind of supplies?
Supplies.
All kinds of supplies.
Supplies.
What kinds of supplies?
Medical salesman. She'd be a great, you know what she'd be great? She would be a great person to be captured. You would want her captured.
Right. She wouldn't be able to give any information.
What's your rank? Rank!
Well, no, she said all kinds of medical supplies 4 times in response to what kind of medical. All kinds of medical supplies. All kinds of medical supplies.
All right. What about prosthetics? Does he sell prosthetic legs?
He doesn't sell.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's not all kinds.
Egg crate mattresses?
No, egg crate mattresses.
No. All right. Mostly we have...
How about those paper
Wait,
underpants
about to tell
they
us.
Sell at Pinky Cheeks?
She's about to tell us. What does she? What does he supply?
We have stacks in our garage of booties for babies and, needles at the Yin Yang, gloves.
All right. I don't trust
We're
this guy.
We're a very well-known company, but I don't want to say
it. Okay. Yeah. All right, I think you can talk to him about this, but don't get confused with the medical part. He's a salesman. Yeah. Salesmen are dicey, deceptive, horrible. Maggie, don't you ever end up with a salesman. Do you hear me?
And keep going after those gay guys you like. That's much better.
Stick with the gay posse much you're better. Running with. No,
much better.
No salesman.
Much better.
And by the way, no gay salesman.
The guys have to get through all of us
friends.
To get to Maggie.
I'm just saying.
Gay friends.
Just saying.
Right. You stick.
Platonic friends.
We're just saying.
Okay. No salesman. That's all I'm saying. Nobody in the business either. No.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, that's
uh-oh.
A given.
Yeah, yeah. No, none of these producer guys. None of these guys. None of these agents. Stay away from the agents.
Mm. Also salesmen.
Publicists, all gays. We don't have to worry about them.
Dealers of human flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay away from all these guys. I like to see you guy. You know the guy I like to see you go on? Guy who owns a business that cleans aquariums. Comes to your
that's
house.
Hot.
Comes to your house in a van. He's got a little net. Comes in there, puts the fish. Does salt water and fresh.
But in reality, he's trained as a marine biologist.
He knows something.
But trained as a marine biologist.
He talks a little
environmentally driven.
Maybe data entry.
Yeah, No, sounds
dependable.
I like the aquarium guy. Yeah. This guy's got a van. He's doing his own thing.
Eventually has a team of people that goes out.
Couple guys. Listens to Loveline. Wears a condom in case. Just in case.
With a popsicle stick and some yarn.
That's right.
We need to come up with a new product for the condom loading. The strip club condom loader.
Yeah.
The special version of the condom loader.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. What
is it? Used to go in your underpants or something.
Maybe you could use
Jen for the infomercial.
Yeah. She's a delight. Nice.
All right, let's go to break. Break it down.
Okay. All right, let's go to break. We're going to take a little break here. Wait, was I done? I wasn't done.
We don't know if we're done because every time we talk, she talks.
All right. Leslie needs to confront this guy.
She's winding down.
She needs to say to him, look, it's weird to me that you're taking the Viagra. I understand, birthday, holidays, whatever, but you take it every time.
Look,
that's weird.
She is suspicious that something is up with this guy. She doesn't understand him. She doesn't understand why she's taking Viagra. There are all kinds of secrets. Bad sign in a relationship. He may be an addict. He may be doing all kinds of things. He may have medical problems you're not aware of. You don't know. You don't know him. He's lying. He's deceitful. Okay. That's not a relationship.
All right. Let's take a little break. Ian, Maggie, both here tonight from Lost. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, ABC. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ian Somerhalder here tonight. Maggie Grace here tonight from Lost. 8 o'clock, ABC. Yes, Drew.
Maggie was feeling she lost out on something like the 70s where people really cared.
How old are you, Maggie?
I tried to explain to her it wasn't how it was.
I just turned 21.
Just turned 21. You didn't miss anything. You really?
Nothing.
It seemed cool, but people really depressed and angry.
It's so misleading because look at the architecture of the 70s.
Just look at what they did to buildings, and that's what they did to people.
It's pretty wretched.
Look what they did to cars.
Cottage cheese on the ceilings.
Wasn't it later on in the 70s? Weren't the early 70s? You were just coming out of this sort of sexual revolution and...
The 60s was basically a sham, wouldn't you say?
I don't know. True, I'm not 70 years old.
Well, you were around in that.
In the 60s?
What's your teenager?
A teenager in the 60s? I was born in 64.
You were almost... You're right, 70s.
Yeah, what? I was six when the 60s ended. What do you think I was doing? Like getting laid at a Grateful Dead concert?
I'm just saying, you were exposed
all the
stuff.
Burning your draft card?
I burnt my bra. I burnt my walker, my hoppity hopper thing that goes in the door jam. And then, I nailed some chick at Fremont Park over there when we're taking in the dead. Yeah. I also saw Hendrix at Altamont. Yeah. I did it all when I was six.
Take calls.
How dare you? What teenager in the 60s? What are you, high?
I mean, you were a young, teens, 73?
I hit teens in 70. When are you, 13?
13.
78?
That's the year I was born.
Yeah.
Besides, he doesn't remember anything. Turned 77.
All right. I didn't know what was going on.
So I was in college at that point.
I didn't masturbate until I was 16.
Man, that's weird.
Still making
Are
up
you
for
kidding?
It. Yeah.
He was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you go to Catholic school?
No. Barely went to any school.
Were you afraid you'd go blind?
No, it was just one of those things. I didn't take them.
Again, you can't.
That's what they tell you.
I know, but you can't, no matter what you tell a male, you can't stop him from doing that.
No.
That's the difference
cannot.
In the male system.
Double amputee.
Right. No, I had too much respect for ladies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Kevin?
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. That's
refreshing.
That's what I was looking for.
You know what the ladies like.
That's right. They like me not masturbating. Show of hands. Anyone want to see me masturbate? No. There you go. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, okay. I went to rehab for 6 months, or actually a year and a half. Came back for 6 months. Started using cocaine for a week and a half. Got arrested with possession. And now I'm getting tested, 43 days sober, and I'm still showing up positive.
Mm-hmm.
For coke?
Yeah.
And you're getting blood tests or urine tests?
I'm just getting urine. And I got a saliva, and it said I used, and I guess saliva is 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, coke's not supposed to show up.
Well, cocaine, what's measured in the urine is something called benzoyl ecchonane, and it's absolutely specific for cocaine. And we usually think of it being out in about 72 hours, but I have seen people for which it stayed around for a couple of weeks, and I always am highly suspicious that they're using when I see that, but there may be something funny going on.
Is there something, the way they process it and the way they process it's different?
I don't know enough about it to really answer that one, but are you not using, Kevin, really?
No, I swear, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I come back and I get caught using Coke, and of course, what shows up on the drug test? Coke, you know? It's kind of hard.
Consistently.
Yeah?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know what to make of it. I have seen it for a few weeks. I've never seen it for 6 weeks like you're describing, and I don't know quite what to make of it. It should really be out in about 72 hours.
Pot sticks around for
a
while.
Pot can stick around for a long while. Benzodiazepines, Librium-like drugs can stick around for a long while. Coke occasionally does.
Yeah?
Occasionally does, yeah.
Maybe it's really good Coke.
Hmm.
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, it
doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with my understanding of the biology.
Kevin, you're 16. You're not supposed to be doing Coke until you're like 17 and a half.
Yeah.
What
and
are you thinking?
Before I went to rehab, I wasn't even doing it. And when I come back, it's like, you know, whatever pots, you know, like no one was doing pot around here anymore. It was all Coke. So it's just kind of like.
Really?
Pick up
how much is Coke? How much is it for a gram now?
I was getting it for like 25. 20. 55.
Oh, man, I'm going to get into Coke. You realize when I was making $9 an hour swinging a hammer, Coke was like $120 a gram. Now, literally a millionaire, by the way. And Coke, well, it's true. I mean, literally.
Literally.
A lot of people say millionaire, but literally a millionaire. You know, let me tell you how rich I am, Drew. I didn't know, like, I would pay for things in bundles. You know, the bundles of money?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone just told me they came apart. That you could actually pull the single bills out.
You just would hand the bundles?
I would hand bundles.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, like, you know, a car would be like 10 bundles, but nothing was less than one bundle.
Okay.
A thing of gum was a bundle. Now, somebody told me the band that goes around the bundles comes apart.
Okay, and Thurston Howell, let's go.
You pull the individual paper, and you give it to them for something like some mints, and they give you this metal money back.
I know. The metal you've never had any time for.
I think it may be worth more.
No, you just throw
it. It looks like it's silver.
You skip it like coins on Lake Hollywood.
I'm just saying, I didn't even know money came out of the bundles. That's the kind of money I have. And now at $20 a gram, Drew, it seems like I got to start doing coke.
Yeah.
I got to get into
blow.
You do,
madam. Yeah, yeah.
Eight
yeah.
ball. They pay you for an eight ball now. Yeah. Seriously, did you guys know that the bundles came apart?
I do now.
You do now. And it's going to save you more bundles. Because a bundle, now you could break it up, goes a long way.
Another thing we'll read in Newsweek next month.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Carolla.
Next to Pinky Cheeks.
Yeah.
In jail for...
All right. Greenspan, they call me. Yeah. Okay, Drew. I'm going to explain to you the bundles theory. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Chris gave me the finger. Yeah, sweet, buddy. All right, that's the show. Wow, took a heavy walk down memory lane with Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Angry about the past. Hopeful about the future,
but mm-hmm.
bitter about... Drew's thing is he wants to embrace the future, but gang rape the past.
retribution.
You want
compensation for the 70s.
That's right.
Yes.
I agree. I want to thank Maggie Grace and Ian Somerhalder for coming in here tonight from one of my favorite shows.
Thank you, guys.
And Ian said during the breaks, dude, you really watch Lawson? I said, oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's a great show. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock on ABC. Continued success.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Come back anytime.
It's a lot of fun.
This is going to springboard you into many other projects, and you come back and plug those as well.
Love to.
God bless you, and until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Sit in the bucket. Now you can't come in the house. Then. I'm wearing thick underpants. Sorry, sweetie. Rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.